Welcome to the Frugalpreneur Podcast. I am your host, Sarah St. John. This episode is what I refer to as a showcase episode where I feature a bootstrapped entrepreneur and they briefly share their tips, tricks, tactics, techniques, and tools that help them bootstrap their business and the successes and failures along the way. My hope is that each of these showcase episodes will provide at least one valuable takeaway that you could implement right away in your own bootstrap business journey. Now on to the episode.
Well, good afternoon, Sarah, and thank you for having me on the Frugalpreneur Podcast. I am not the type of person who would be what I consider to be a risk taker to start their own business. To me, that was a very risky proposition, at least it was in my younger day. But what happened was my father spent 25 years working for another company. Yeah, he started on the factory floor and through a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice, worked his way up to national sales manager. One day he was unceremoniously shown the door and he vowed from that day forward that he would never work for anyone else again. Well, this coincided with me just about to graduate with my undergraduate degree. And he asked me to come work for him. And he said, you know, we don't have any money right now. And he really didn't. We started with basically a desk, a typewriter, a phone. We had a filing cabinet and a used minivan. And that was about the total of the company assets at the time. And I told him, yeah, this looks really risky to me. I was planning on going to work for a nice big safe company, which ironically is exactly what he did and found out how unsafe it was. So I told him, I said, well, I'll give you 2 years and that's it. I know I can learn a lot from you. You've been doing this your whole life, but I can't go past 2 years because, you know, this whole thing could fall apart and then where would I be? I would have invested a lot of time and energy into a company that failed. What I learned, and he let me learn, he never instructed me, but what I learned is in this business and in life, actually, the big risk in all this is putting your fate in someone else's hands. You run your own company, you can make directional changes when you need to. You know, you're in charge. And that's a big difference than being in charge of or letting somebody else be in charge to make the decisions that affect your life so drastically. So that was 1987 when I said I would give him 2 years. Here it is 2023 and I own and operate that company today, same company. We did $5 million last year in sales and have over $1 million in liquid assets. And if you look at where we started from, you would never have believed it. I sometimes can't believe it myself. Okay, so like I said, when we started out, we had almost nothing. So we didn't have any choice but to run extremely lean. But what my father had learned as a sales manager was that the companies that try to grow too fast, they don't make it. You know, the people that hire a lot of people quickly and expand, and then they hit a bump in the road and it's too much for them, they can't afford it, they go out of business. He'd seen it time and time again in his career. So he preached the value of keeping your overhead as low as possible. And we did, believe me, what we learned, what he taught me was that people are your most expensive asset. You know, hiring somebody, you got to pay their salary, you got to pay the matching benefits. You know, they want a cell phone, they want insurance. This is a very, very expensive asset. So try to use independent contractors when you can and do as much of the work yourself as you can. Another thing is if you're going to buy a company asset, buy a company car because it's a great savings personally where the company can maintain the car, put gas in the car, buy the car. And of course you can drive it for personal use. You've got to declare those miles, but it's still a great deal. Also, in order to go out and get new customers, we didn't have an advertising budget. We had to go out and person-to-person sales calls. And it's the least expensive way to do it, but I think it's also the most effective, especially in this day and time. You know, we were operating in the 80s and 90s, but this day and time, the face-to-face is really lost. If you can get in front of a potential customer and explain to them how you can make their life better, I think that's the most valuable thing you can do, and it's also the least expensive. The other thing we have to, and it's a killer for so many businesses, is focus on the cash flow. Keep an eye on the people that owe you money and don't let them get late with it. You've got to keep your bills current primarily, so a lot of times you're paying yourself last. But watch the money that's coming in and make sure you're paid on time. Also, and it's not so much bootstrapping, but the nice part about being lean and being small is when you start out, you don't always know where your target market is or who your target market is. It takes time to figure that out. So if you can just keep it lean until you find out where you're making your money, then it's time to grow. You know, you don't want to grow too fast. I guess I'd like to start with my biggest failure and get that out of the way. I graduated with a 4-year degree in business, which taught me enough to know that record keeping is very important. I actually wanted to be an accountant when I started out. I changed direction. But when we started out, we got so carried away in trying to survive and make sales and make enough money to get through the month that we let the bookkeeping go. And this was a time before you had a personal computer or software that could do it for you. And we played fast and loose with the numbers. I'll be the first to admit that. And sure enough, we got audited for a sales tax audit. We weren't even collecting sales tax because we didn't know we were supposed to. And they came in guns blazing and none of our numbers matched up. We couldn't justify anything we'd done. And it was a royal mess. They were going to bring in the IRS and really finish us off. But I was able to talk them out of that through miracle, basically. But the lack of record keeping, tremendous mistake. We had to close that company down and start over. But when we started over, we did it right. And we've done it right to this day. But that was the biggest failure, was the lack of bookkeeping. The biggest success, though, is getting a referral from a satisfied customer who gives your name to a potential customer. This is, to me, the most rewarding part of having your own business. It's a customer that is already sold on what you're doing because somebody told them about it. It's the advertising you couldn't buy if you wanted to. It's the most effective, most valuable, and it brings the greatest reward. And it does also show you that you've done everything right for this customer to the point where he's an evangelist for your company. When that happens, I get great satisfaction because that means I've done everything right for that customer. And here I'm getting a great reward where he's bringing in business that I maybe wouldn't have gotten. And this guy's already sold. I don't have to convince him that I'm going to make his life better. He already believes it. So that's as good as it gets. Okay, this might sound repetitive, but it's worth saying again. Don't hire people until you absolutely have to. If you need help, get an independent contractor to help you while you need them. Stay away from employees. They're very, very expensive and they're hard to get rid of. Also, cash flow to me is king. Keep an eye on the money's coming in. Your receivables should be a big part of what you do. Get paid up front as often as you can. At least get half, get a percentage. You know, get people on a monthly subscription, whatever you can do. If you've got a large accounts receivable and you can't collect it, you're in a horrible, horrible spot. We've been there before. You know, we had to loan personal money to the company just to get through the month. It's no fun. And then again, if you're going to get out and you want to do some advertising, you're going to find new customers. If it's possible to do it face to face, that builds the relationship over a cup of coffee, over lunch, something like that. Get to these networking sessions that don't cost anything. You find potential customers there and chat them up, man. I mean, you know, forget the advertising budget when you can get out and do it yourself and get people to know you. People do business with people they like. So if you find some people and they like you, they're going to be very interested in being a potential customer. And one other thing I should mention here is if you're running your own business and especially a startup business, it's up to you to keep yourself current and stay educated in how business is being done. I know this because I did it the wrong way. I was happy to sit back and continue to use a fax machine when everybody else was using email. I didn't know what Excel was. I wasn't using Word. I was way behind the times, and it got called out to me by customers, which makes you look like you don't know what you're doing. So I knew I had to get educated quick. I went back to school and got an MBA. It took me 5 years of night class to make that happen, but it was a great experience. And I was up to speed when it was over. And I was an oddity there because I was the guy who was running his own business. And most of these other people were there to help get points to climb the corporate ladder. This MBA was going to give them a raise or a promotion. I was just there to survive. So there were some opportunities that came up to speak to some undergraduate entrepreneurship classes. And I jumped at them. I loved it. And I saw these young people with great ideas, but they needed some guidance as far as decision-making. Like, you know, a lot of them wanted to be 50-50 partners. And I always said, that's a bad move. I've never seen it work well. You need one leader, not two, you know, things like that. And so this put a kind of a fire in me to teach. And I wanted to teach entrepreneurship. And I went on a 7-year journey to find a place to teach. And I did find a place. It was a minimum security prison of all places. I spent 3 years teaching there, loved it. It was the best job I ever had. And I wrote a book about it. The name of the book is Lifeline to a Soul. And if anybody would like a copy, if you go to our website, lifelinetoasoul.com, there's a place to leave your email address. Mention the Frugalpreneur podcast and I'll be in touch and be happy to send you an autographed copy at my cost. Be my pleasure. So thank you again, Sarah, for having me on. It's been a true pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already, don't forget to grab your free PDF copies of my latest books at frugal.show/free. Until next time.